The Money Show. Personal finance.
So Warren Ingram, if this time 2015 you were a grumpy bunny at the end of 2015, you really were. Nhlanhla Nene had been fired, but the consequence of Nhlanhla Nene being fired, it's taken 2 years for sanity to prevail. But now we've got a more markets orientated president of the ANC. He's got some tough battles to fight, but those are his battles. And we end 2017 on a far better footing than we ended 2015, and certainly a far better footing on which we ended 2016. I'm a happy end of 2017-er. How about you?
I am. No, I think I am. I think we're in a much better position than we were 3 months ago, you know, and 6 months ago. And as you say, definitely 2 years ago. And you're right. I think that's as close as I've come to losing my rag on radio was
first. No. You lost your rag. You lost every sense of decorum. Your lips, which are normally a soft rosy red, and forgive me for noticing, had a white outline of somebody who had just been robbed. The country had been robbed. And in retrospect, however, one looks at it, and that was the catalyst for the extraordinary change that we've seen over the last couple of days. And thank goodness. Yeah, absolutely. Thank goodness. So, sanity has prevailed at last.
I think the milk's been spilt. And I guess now it's human nature to then just say, well, this is where we are today, and let's look forward and move forward. And I think that's probably a healthy place to be right now. And I agree with you. We are in a much better position than we were. There are lots of buts that we have to put into all of this. But I think for the moment, watching that result, I can tell you, major sense of relief just to see, some level of sanity prevailing there, which was fabulous to see. It tells me, our country always veers to the brink of collapse and then somehow finds its way back again.
I mean, there were less than 80 votes in it. If 80 people had voted differently, we'd have the Radical Economic Transformation Brigade, whatever that means. I'm still not convinced that the ANC itself knows exactly what it means. But we would have had a far different economic outlook. The Rand, instead of going from to 12.52, may have gone to 14.52 with all of the consequences of that happening at the beginning of this week. Instead, we have a Rand at 12.70, stronger than it started the year, and there is a chance, if we don't blow it, of a better year economically as we go into 2018.
I think that's quite right, and there's probably, hopefully we've hit the bottom and we've stopped digging, and now we as a country can take a constructive step forward. And it's, what's really interesting for me is it doesn't take a lot for business people and definitely markets, investment markets, to change sentiment in a really radical way, to really almost 180 degree turn from being really negative and watching immigration, etc., numbers rising and money leaving the country in floods, to kind of switching completely, to saying, okay, this is a place we can be. I think if you look at the optimism around Zim, with all the still really obvious problems that it has, and the question marks about the political, regime that is there still to this day, look at how people are looking at that favorably. And I think, a company like Tongaat, if you just look at the impact on Tongaat share price from, with the resolution in Zim, just tells you that, the whole investment climate here can change really quickly and I think to me it's a big if. The first 6 months of next year, we need to see quite a few things happening very quickly, and I think we could find ourselves on an incredibly positive footing very quickly.
And there are lots of ifs, buts, and maybes in that, and that is the nature of investing, and that is the nature of the world of investing, is that one can never predict the future with any degree of clarity. So one has to make investment decisions based on scenarios or best guesses or whatever it might be, but one has to keep on keeping on, regardless of the environment, and making the best possible investment choices with the available information. So what does one do?
Okay, so I almost want to just give you a couple of bullet points that I'm looking at for what I want to see next year, and then the decisions that I would make around those. And I think as a starting point, just the rand dollar. It's an obvious question to talk about, and it's a big point for most investors. And to me, I think I've been fairly consistent saying that when the rand is at 13 rand 50 or below that, so stronger than that, and it's certainly there now. Then if you don't have enough money invested overseas, you need to use that opportunity to send money out, and so that level I won't adjust downwards now. In other words, I won't say, okay, let's look at rather at 13 rand or below to start sending money out. I still think 13 rand 50 is a good level to use. So for now, for people who don't have sufficient capital invested overseas, then that's the first point. 13 rand 50. Keep watching that. I think it's a good level to monitor. However, just talking about overseas markets for a second, I think we've been pretty, we've chatted about it quite a bit in the last few weeks. The international markets, especially the US market, are expensive, is expensive. And so, don't expect that you're suddenly going to go from the JSE and go, go into the US market and expect, fabulous returns over the next 5 years. I think at valuations as they are now in America, you can expect returns in the US market to be, in the single digits, below 10% a year.
Single digits in dollar terms or single digits in rand terms?
In dollar terms. I think, yeah, to me, once you send money out, constantly relating it back to what the exchange rate does here doesn't really help you. You've got to say, I've got to judge my investment overseas in its basket of currencies and against its own inflation rates. And so to get 9% a year, for example, in America, where inflation rates might be around 1 or 2% a year, that's still a very good return to get. It's a real return, just for argument's sake, of 7% a year, and that's a comfortable, very nice return to have. But I just think you need to know that getting 12 or 20% a year, as investors are used to getting at the moment from the American market, that's not going to carry on. And I think we actually saw it here. It was a very nice illustration of what happened, when the JSE almost flatlined for three, nearly 4 years. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the same in America. And it's got a history of doing that. From the year 2000 to the end of the beginning of 2010, the US market did absolutely nothing. If you just got zero return over that long period of time. So I'm not saying that you should expect zero from the US markets over 10 years, but just expect that leaving here, and diversifying, which is rational, don't expect suddenly to get those returns that we've seen over there.
That makes that diversification argument really hard, because and it's a South African disease. When the rand is depreciating, people can't wait to get money out of the country. When it starts strengthening, people hoard money at home and decide, oh no, it can only get stronger. That's the way we wire it. It's either disaster or it's good times. And we know we hit the best levels on the currency in 9 months on Monday night briefly, and we're not too far off those levels. And that's going to lead to some optimism, perhaps some over-optimism about the state of the nation.
So just two comments there. One is a very personal one. I took a bet at the beginning of 2016 with a friend that the rand would be at 12.50 by the 31st of December this year.
So you were wrong, weren't you? Because it went to 12.52, which is not 12.50. So yeah, you were wrong.
No. I've still got a few days. 31st of December. Yeah. So just for those currency traders out there, if you want to throw a dog a bone, I'd really appreciate it.
But one swallow doth not a summer make.
I just need to win the bet. I don't care about the summer. but I think for that to guard against that excessive emotion, in this case maybe over optimism, what I would say is every investor, once they've started to build up a base of money, I think you need to have about a quarter of your investment assets out of the country. That's a minimum, and so that should be your guiding principle. I think once you have more than half of your money out of the country, I think it's that you probably could say that you might have too much money then overseas. But so for all of us, that range should be between a quarter to a half, and so that should be the nice benchmark that you use to guide yourself when you make investment decisions. If you're sitting in a position today where you've got absolutely no money invested overseas, and the rand's looking at like it is at the moment at these favorable rates, then the decision should be simple. I need to start building up my overseas allocation. Okay. And it's not a bet. And just, you know, just for people who, you know, start going to start sending me tweets to say I'm an Afro-pessimist or whatever, that's not the case. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. This is a simple, rational diversification of your money to get exposure to markets and economies that we just can't get here. And to me, you know, I still would be looking very favorably at the other big emerging markets around the world. I still think those are great engines of growth for investors.
Any questions for Warren Ingram this evening as we close off 2017 and we prepare to launch full ball into 2018? Anything to do with your money? Anything to do with your concerns, your fears, your hopes, your aspirations, your optimism, your pessimism, whatever it might be? 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. Questions, comments, observations for Warren Ingram this evening? Anything to do with your money?
The Money Show, Personal Finance.
Warren Ingram is talking personal finance this evening. Graham. Oh, good question. Graham. Such a good question that he went beep, beep, beep. He was swearing so hard, Warren Ingram, that we had to beep him. How do you protect yourself when a Steinhoff happens? Well, yeah. 90% value destruction in the value of Steinhoff shares. 3 weeks ago, it was one of the 10 biggest companies on the JSE. Now it's barely in the top 100. It's calamitous on every level.
Absolutely. I think the short answer is you can't protect yourself. You know, there are a few, talking heads out there that are, you know, now, you know, really clever after the fact about how that this was so obvious that anyone could have seen Steinhoff was a fraud or a pyramid scheme or something like that. And I just don't, I don't give credence to that at all. I think, they fooled, I guess, a lot of quality fund managers. I think they fooled a lot of their own staff and a lot of their auditors, et cetera, et cetera. And so
they fooled some of their own directors. Well, at least we hope the directors were fooled. Yeah.
I give benefit of the doubt to their non-executive directors. If you look at that board, those are people whose reputations are taking serious knocks now, and they certainly didn't get paid the kind of money that they would demand to destroy their reputations if they ever would. So I think they fooled a lot of people, and so to me the protection against an event like a Steinhoff would be very simple. It's you just have to have your eggs spread across quite a few different baskets when it comes to investing in shares. And make sure that you have a nice diversity of styles of investing as well. So I mean, it's no secret. I've always been a fan of index investing, and so you would have owned that that share. It would have been one of the big shares that you would have owned in your portfolio if you were an index investor, and you would have taken a knock, and it would be painful. But the point is that you wouldn't just own three or four shares. You would own at least 40 or 80 different shares, and if you were in a diversified portfolio of investments, in other words, cash, bonds, property, shares, local and international, then your knock was probably only around 1 or 1.5%, and still a big knock. I'm not saying it's not a loss, but that's not that's not a 90% loss on your investment.
People will be in the minority who will express this opinion, but it's an opinion I've heard. You see, the JSE, you can't trust the private sector. I'm not going to buy shares because you see what happened at Steinhoff, and the whole market is just gambling.
Yep, and that obviously gains volume when things like this happen. Unfortunately, we've had we had African Bank, and now we've got Steinhoff, and that's I guess people are entitled to their views. If you contrast that with however many shares that have gone up many hundreds of times, then that view just doesn't hold. The facts don't bear that out at all. You look at the people that haven't generated sort of fictitious wealth over time. You know, they've generated real money, real growth over many decades. That's just not true. I mean, I think we've talked about family-owned businesses before. If you just bought PSG and got all the associated companies with that, you'd be worth a heck of a lot of money, even if you happen to own Steinhoff as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, let's not waste any time talking about that. I was just being facetious because that's the sort of response I get, people emailing me and commenting on Twitter and all of that sort of stuff, and I'm glad you've just reinforced it. The JSE is ending the year about 15-16% better than it was at the beginning of the year. It's the first year in four before where we've seen any worthwhile gains on the investment markets. For investors who, for people who don't have a lot of money and who are wary of going offshore and don't understand the process of it and feel like they don't have enough money, is the JSE an awful place to put your 300 rand a month, your 500 rand a month direct debit?
No, definitely not. It is a good place to put your money. I think, and certainly if you're doing it by a debit order, then I would say by all means carry on. You know, it's a form of phasing your money into an investment, and I like that very much. So I think that I wouldn't be shying away from it. You know, one thing to note about the JSE, especially if you're buying, you know, the top 40 companies, is that most of them aren't really, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your view, they're not really related directly to the health of the South African economy. You know, many of them are very international businesses that earn quite a small proportion of their money in South Africa. So I think, you know, it might be time to kind of look at double strategy. In other words, putting your money in an index, but possibly also putting your money into an actively managed unit trust as well, as you know, in a combination. Because I think I think there is some good value in the JSE outside of that top 40 sector. You know, the smaller companies that have been absolutely hammered with all the negativity that we've seen, you know, those are companies that are starting to look very attractive, and I see some of them are shooting up at the moment, you know, based on what happened on the weekend.
And we must be careful of over exuberance, and we've got to be careful of getting a little bit ahead of ourselves in terms of excitement. I mean, if the markets did more on Tuesday in terms of financial and industrial shares just in one day than they've done in the whole year, you've got to know that there is just a little bit of FOMO in the world, and investors are frightened of losing out. So the rules of investing into 2018, keep investing. Take some money out of the country if you can at stronger exchange rates. But don't stop investing. Julia's only regret, I think, Warren, she started investing with your guidance. Julia, our super saver. If you don't know what I'm talking about, facebook.com/BruceBusiness. Just search for Julia. You'll learn all about her really quickly. 2008 happened and she cut back on her investing, and had she continued investing through the crisis, she would be even better off than the last tally that we saw, 4.2, 4.3 million rand that she's got invested already.
Absolutely, and I think she's a great example of sticking with it, even when times get tough. She cut back, but she didn't stop, which was the important point there. I think and maybe just to those investors that have been sitting on the sidelines, riding a lot of cash, not knowing what to do, and looking at the JSE and saying, you know, that it's just gone nowhere for so long. My comment now would be, don't take those lump sums if you've built them up and commit them to the market all in one shot. You know, when you get back from holiday at the beginning of the year, take a measured approach. And I think, at least phase it in over a minimum of 6 months, and feed it into the market if you're investing, significant lump sums, and possibly 12 months. You know, I think we need to see what happens in the first few weeks, possibly of next year to make that call. So, you know, if the politics go well in the beginning of the year and there's a big reshuffle and Zuma gets recalled, et cetera, then you can reduce the period of your phasing into 6 months. But if the politics look rough and it looks like we're not seeing quick change, then take a 12-month view to feed your capital in. So I agree with you, Bruce. Don't get over exuberant. I mean, I think it's a time to be measured. Not overly optimistic and also not too pessimistic. There's still a lot of those people, but don't avoid the JSE. It is a good place and does reward investors over long periods of time.
Warren Ingram from Galileo Capital, happy Christmas. Enjoy the break that you're going to have. We'll talk early in the new year. Warren Ingram is a financial advisor. He's also a director at Galileo Capital.